Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Comedy Fantasy Football Podcast with me, Craig, Tom.
Hello.
And Ash.
Hello, everybody.
No one said ahoy.
Oh, you just did.
Oh, shit.
So welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes for game week 32/33. Again, it's getting closer and closer to the end. We're going to run through over the next hour, as usual, all the game week 32 scores, all our usual features, Tom versus Ash, the Gaffer Gambler, and also look through a pretty interesting game week 33. Well, before we go into the results from game week 32, quick word on good week, bad week. Tom, Ash, was it good? Was it bad?
Not good for me. Not overly good.
You say that, but you know.
Well, it was all right. A couple of cock ups and a couple of just very, very low scoring players. Captain Choice was no good.
Well, I'd say it was pretty horrific for me.
Pretty horrific.
Yeah, I did the classic Pella, Benteke, backed them all the way. As soon as they get a bit of form, ditched them both. Both of them scored. And Aguero. And I had, instead of them, I brought fucking Remy, who got injured.
Remy.
Genius. Wow.
Didn't even play. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about obviously all these mistakes and Ash's unwavering loyalty question finally. But yeah, so a quick run through the first part of the results from game week 32. Swansea Everton was a 1-1 draw. Southampton beat Hull 2-0 with Pella obviously scoring, as Ash just said there. Spurs lost to Villa
1-0.
Tim Sherwood, it was one of those kind of fairy tale moments for him.
He's obviously scored.
He was working out his win percentage on the calculator as it was going along. Crystal Palace absolutely battered Sunderland 4-1, which we're going to talk about in a sec. And West Brom Villa, an absolute screamer of a game, 3-2 to Leicester after Brom probably should have had it in the bag. It's difficult looking at those fixtures. It's nice to be able to talk about teams that, you know, people don't often always talk about on podcasts and magazines and articles, but Palace. We've talked about them for the last couple of weeks. Even though they fit the bill of a mid-table team who've got nothing to play for, they are loving life.
Yeah, big scoring players at the moment.
Yeah,
sort of
yeah, definitely.
Football-wise, definitely.
We took Balassi.
Yeah, Craig.
Yannick Balassi this week.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so Yannick, we talked last week, it was kind of a toss-up between Punch and Balassi. Are both really creative players from midfield, can score goals. I just put Balassi in the lineup ahead of, I can't quite remember now, and just as the goals were going in, I thought he can't get a hat trick, obviously, for Yannick Balassi. And Glenn Murray has scored now 6-6, I think.
I checked his last three, and I think he's got 14 points, 12 points, and 14 points his last 3 weeks.
Wow.
It's mad.
It's mad. And I think only Palace fans probably had him until, you know, maybe this week people start to put him in. But have either of you got Palace players in your squad?
No, never.
No. I did have Punchin for a fair bit of the season, but I haven't at the minute.
I think I had Shamak at one point before he was...
Wow. I mean, that is dead. What happened to Shamak?
Died. He died.
I don't... He was the one with the mental hairline.
Yeah, he had the really shit version, like similar hair to Ronaldo, but just worse.
That is the only time he's ever been compared to Cristiano.
And do you remember that Makeda used to play for United?
Yeah.
Hair like him. Similar.
Hold on a minute. That reminds me. Classic. He is the best ever, Makeda.
Yeah.
Of a guy who is going to be the best player in the history of the world because he scored a goal.
Scored a goal.
Ever.
A volley against Villa in the FA Cup.
Do you remember people fucking going on about it?
Yeah, and it's because he was young and he had like a funky haircut.
Like,
everyone went, it could be the new Ronaldo.
He could be the new Shamak, that guy.
If he was a little albino fella, right, they wouldn't have been saying anything about him being the new Ronaldo or anything. He would have just been weird albino boy. He scored one goal and now works in a fish and chip shop. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're describing Luke Chadwick.
Chadders.
He got a loan move to Serie A. Not Chadwick. Makeda.
Really?
Off the back of that. But yeah, he's just constantly disappointed over and over again. Yeah, he's one of them. But Palace have West Brom the week coming up. So I think getting them last week was a good move because obviously if you can buy a player from a team knowing they've got a couple of easy games, it's better value than if they've got Chelsea away the week after, isn't it? So it's still worth getting them in. They've obviously Murray 6-6, for instance, Balassi hat-trick. Is it one of those where you don't want to jump on that bandwagon in case too many people do, or you think it's just a flash in the pan?
I think if I put them in this week, they'd stop scoring. So I'm not going to put them in this week. So for anyone listening, put them in this week. It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true.
But if I put them in, it's one of those. It's too good to be true if it happened again. By the time everyone's clocked on, they stop doing it.
Yeah. Ash, no Palace players for you? No.
No, I think Murray and Blasica. Blasi's been really inconsistent. I've thought about getting him a couple of times, but then he'll just get like sent off, won't he?
He is inconsistent. I think his decision making is kind of not quite there. He makes the wrong decision a lot. But it's one of those things, if his decision making was better, he wouldn't be playing for Palace because he'd be a top player. But talking to teams that, you know, maybe unfashed by players from, unless it's Walaszowski, obviously Wallace. Yeah. Even though that's not how you pronounce his name.
No. Still not, no.
Leicester got a win 3-2 against West Brom. And it's this time of year where relegation teams are going to have to perform. They have to make a race of it. You know, they often do. So is it a completely ridiculous tactic to drop some of the more favoured teams? If you've got, for instance, you know, Spurs players or Everton, I know they're not favoured, but, you know, some people we have one or two, you know, Jagielka, or you could have a Spurs striker or midfielder, Eriksen or Chadley. Is it worth swapping one of them for one of these relegation teams? Because they are going to get more results than usual. They are going to score points.
I think we were talking about it before. The mid-table teams, especially like, you know, sad to say at West Ham, Tottenham, the last two games have looked dreadful, haven't they?
As if you slipped in calling Tottenham a mid-table team.
Yeah, West Ham, Tottenham. Teams of that calibre.
Yeah,
you know, Brentford, Leighton Orient, Spurs. Just one of those.
But it's true, though, isn't it? They're not a Champions League team. They're nowhere near it. And they're not going to play and do anything now. Mm. No chance.
Well, ever. I thought about that potential of the fact that the teams at the bottom are going to be fighting and pulling results out of nowhere. And then I thought about Leicester and I thought about whatever happened to Yeloa?
Joa?
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
Well, he's still there. He got the assist for David Nugent's goal in the West Brom game. But
I looked him up today and had a little look and thought he hasn't scored big for... I mean, months.
Yeah, I think he got hit by an injury and then just hasn't really... They haven't performed. They haven't got points together. I think it's one of those where he's still a decent enough player, but...
I remember at the start of the season, he was the talk of the town, wasn't he?
I think it's one of those things, you know, where they say like...
Sorry, I'm just laughing at you using that expression. He was the talk of the town. You couldn't move for hearing about Ajoa. Went down to Baker's, he's talking about Ajoa.
I think it's one of those things where, you know how they say, oh, like, they've worked him out. I think it was like they decided to mark their one good player.
Mm. Yeah.
Sort of, that was it.
I don't think it's that they worked him out. I just think the Leicester are a bit shit. So teams, you know, they weren't surprised by them. After that United game, they thought, oh, this team can score goals. We better watch that. But they do have other goal threats. Nugent hasn't been, but Jamie Vardy scored goals. And they've obviously got the man Cambiasso there. But so do you think... Is it a reasonable tactic to have sort of players from the top teams and players from the bottom teams? Kind of a lot of people start to do that and missing out the kind of middle with that sandwich because mid-table teams don't do anything.
Yeah, especially if it's like we were saying before, the bottom teams, it doesn't really matter if they concede goals. So like sticks and midfielders.
Yeah.
And the only thing I think that probably stops people is like we've said the whole season, is the strikers are so cheap. Apart from sort of Kane, I guess we'll talk about it later, sort of misfiring the last couple of games. But those top strikers, if they're all so cheap, you can just put in such a mental midfield that it's like, do you get Murray in and, you know, Bolasie if you can afford loads of zillion pound?
Yeah, if you can get marquee players.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The American phrase, but...
The zillion pound players, yeah.
See a gazillion pound player. I don't know who it is, but...
you cheeky chaps.
To be on the game. Yeah. But yeah, there are points to be had out there. Phillips for QPR, you've mentioned before, he's one. Bolasie punching, there's those kind of players. And the last point we should say as well, like we say, Svensson score... two goals against Hull, 2-0. And Pella, you take him out.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Is that literally what happened? You took him out?
For the first time?
You were standing by him.
Yeah.
He scores his first goal.
Well, it's because last week, I took loads of players out that I had in because Craig said, and I always say it, how I'll just stick with a player.
And what are you blaming me?
No, you were saying last week about how I'm like loyal. You were saying that is like definitely I'm far too loyal, especially during like the World Cup. I was picking players like, you know, 8 years ago, I saw them play and he scored a well good goal. He's definitely going to turn it back round. And he's been retired for 4 years. Like, I mean, not as loyal as Tom is to the, what's his name? Jermaine Genius. Yeah.
And Wallace.
And Wallace, yeah, exactly.
That's repaid loyalty, though, you and Wazalewski.
It has on a couple of occasions, yeah. It's probably why I'm looking quite nice in the league
now. I think you and him would get on. I think if you went for a drink, I think you'd be mates.
How do you know I haven't been for a drink with him? I'm the only person in fantasy football history that's ever picked him. He's hunted me down, and me and him have gone for a steak. That's what I'll say.
The steak. He's not that low a percentage pick, and I think you might have something to do with that, Tom. I think you might. But for those of you who didn't pick Waluszewski and are therefore actually in the top 10 of our league, we'll have a quick run of where you are there. No change at the top, lads. Obviously, Brian Coates, 112 years counting, is at the top. Should have a quick 30-second update, Tom.
Have not found Brian Coates new.
Have you ordered the coat from Brian Coates?
I ordered a coat from him, hoping that he'd bring it round, but it wasn't him. It was his brother Colin Coates got round with the coat.
Well, Brian Coates, still top of the league quite comfortably. Movers and shakers in the top 10. Gregory Pritchard with Charlton Athletic. That's Charlton with an S. He moved up into sixth. And the only other big move, I guess, is Jack Saunders from the Saunders down to eighth. And fan of the show, never the bright, Ian Stimson, Stimdog, is in seventh.
Stim and her. He's, he's overtaken Jack Saunders, who's been a mainstay of the top 10 for the entire season.
Yeah, Stimbabwe is in seventh, and quite frankly, quite frankly, I hope he does it. An outside bet, if he goes on a run now, that would be amazing.
Imagine Stim is in the top five. I wouldn't know what to do.
I think the amount we talk
about... He's only 18 points off being in the top five. Not even that. Yeah, 18 points off. Yeah. He is 90 points off being top.
I think listeners will suspect we are him collectively, like when we, like Captain Planet. When we get together,
we are Stimmers, yeah.
Because just to clarify, I know we mention him every week. For anyone listening, we've never met the guy.
No.
Don't know who he is.
He's not like a friend of ours.
No, he's
just massively wish he was.
Yeah,
of course.
I think in a way we are friends. I think, yeah.
We are virtual friends.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's like a real-life Tamagotchi to us. but he feeds himself.
He does feed himself.
And so if you join the Gaffer Tapes League now, next season you could be
definitely
the new Stimson.
Get this level of attention.
Yeah, you could.
That your own it. Personal
just,
fan
just
cast.
Have a nice, just have a good surname, and we'll.
Yeah, exactly. Good surname. Tweet us now and then at the Gaffer Tapes, and you might happen. But that's their league positions. Obviously, you check out where you are in the Gaffer Tapes and let us know. You can tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes where you are in the league or where you hope to finish. Tom, where are we in the league?
Right. Ash is obviously, as always, ahead of us. You dropped for a few places. You're in 37th.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't think you dropped too much, though, did you?
I think I was 36 last week, yeah.
You were 36. So you had a 46-point game week, which is the worst out of us three, but not far off what I did. So last time we were on, we spoke about how... I spoke about how I'd overtaken Craig for the first time in God knows how long.
You didn't just speak. It was a monologue. It was Shakespearean.
Was it?
You know,
I was happy. Be proud of yourself and your achievements is what my nan always used to say. But then what we spoke about on the podcast, it was actually going on during the Villa game,
that's
wasn't
right.
it?
Of course, the Villa QPR game.
I think Craig actually said, you know, you never know. I think I need Benteke to score a hat-trick, which he actually did.
He did.
But Austin did also score high as well in that game. And I think it turned out that previous to that game, I was ahead of you. After that game, you were then ahead of me. And it does remain that fact because you are 56th, sir, and I am 58th. So two places, or rather one place in between us.
He's turned into a sort of a lawyer.
Yeah.
You, sir, shall find that now henceforth I am 1 point ahead of you.
Hey, all I can say is whoever's in 57th is very lucky to be in that sandwich.
Yeah, that's a big boy sandwich there. I don't know what that means. So, yeah, so Craig had a 64-point week, which was massive, 64-point week, and I had 48.
Scores, yeah. Had and on that note, 64-point week's what I got. That was the best of us this week. But, Ash, what was the best score overall in the Gaffer Tapes League this week?
Team of the week is a fellow Arsenal fan, I suspect. Guna be good, exclamation mark.
Either that or a dyslexic.
Yeah. Could also be that. Richard Leach.
Yeah.
Leachy. Yeah,
hard Leachy boy. Right, his team. Wood. I don't know whether
I'd leech around.
I didn't get a chance to check to see whether what the changes he'd made this week. Because he's got a pretty retro team.
Yeah.
It could be one of those teams where he's left it from the start of the season. Because he's in 117th place. And it's just flicked around to being a good team again. But like he's got Aguero up front, captain, 24 points. Wickham. Then in the midfield, how much of a start of the season team is this? Sanchez, Sterling, Schneiderling, Ramsey.
Ramsey,
August 2014.
Yeah,
yeah.
Baines, Lovren, Stones, Ivanovic in defence, and Mignolet in goal.
Well, he stuck by Aguero. So that's good.
Yeah.
Good on James and the Giant Leech.
Yeah. So he got.
I was going to say that one. James and the Giant Leech. I was just about to do that.
So he got 86 points. Yeah, bloody impressive. See, pretty much double what I got.
Yeah, the old substitute leecher. but that brings us on to the so, leeches. Anyway, leeches. Don't know if you know the rules, but get two or more of them and you get a bloody Toblerone on us. So so keep going. And we will keep doing that until Toblerone send us some fucking triangular chocolate. So we're going to carry on with that. But that brings us on to the second half of the results, actually. West Ham drew 1-1 with Stoke. Did you see the highlights of that game, Ash?
Yeah, bloody brilliant, as always.
Are you even that interested? Are you more, as a West Ham fan, are you more interested in the other parts of the league now, really? Like the relegation battle and the fight for, you know, second, third, fourth?
Yeah, I'm so disillusioned. It's unbelievable.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a chat next week about who ideally you'd want to come in and what you'd do. If you're a West Ham manager, what you'd do. It's a good idea. We'll do that next week. Shelve it. Yeah. John Joe Shelve. And we'll do it. Arsenal beat Burnley 1-0 away from home. Almost a bit of a banana. You'd have, one of those games a couple of months ago, Tom, you'd have probably said, we'll fuck that up. We'll
yeah, absolutely. Up. Well, I had a feeling we might have fucked it up this weekend.
Lucky, and now, actually,
to get the 3 points.
Right. QPR lost to Chelsea just.
Close.
Fabregas. Liverpool beat Newcastle on Monday night 2-0. Sterling got a goal, then went out and smoked some sheesh to celebrate like a bloody... And Manchester Derby, Man United 4, Man City 2. I think a lot of people thought it would be a good Man U win. And quickly before we go into part two, City get done. Liverpool could genuinely catch them. There's only 4 points in it.
Yeah.
United look brilliant for third place, at least, which is pretty incredible. But Aguero gets 2 goals and somehow we're all pissed off.
Yeah. Well, that's it. No one's got him. You'd think the fact that Costa's been out for so long, you know, back in the day, that made your mind up for you, didn't it? You had Aguero, simple as, but no one's got him now, you know?
They're still playing so bad, aren't they?
You were either an Aguero-er or a Costa-er.
Exactly, that was the talk of the town. Genuinely didn't mean to say, that was still in my mind, that was still in my head, bouncing around. Talk of the town, don't say talk of the town again, you made a fool of yourself.
So many people stuck by him thinking, yeah, but it can't go on forever, and eventually it did it. But I would argue, I don't know if you'll agree, Ash, that yes, he scored 2 goals, but that doesn't make up for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
No, I think if you've had him instead of Giroud for the last 5 weeks or whatever, you've made a mistake, haven't you?
So taking Aguero out wasn't necessarily, you know, if you took him out a few weeks ago, it probably wasn't a mistake.
No. I'd say if you took out Pella, Benteke and Aguero this week, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe just give up.
Yeah.
Give up. Other talking points, Mignolet is now second in the clean sheet stake after that, only behind Fraser Forster only.
He saved my week this week, definitely.
And he's got so much shit, Mignolet. And yeah. Tom's credit for him, like he found him in a park in Belgium.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll take credit for him.
This is the point I was going to ask, actually. Man United, team on form. Only really people have had Rooney, De Gea, and occasionally flirted with Di Maria and Mata. But before we go to the break, players like Fellaini and Young are completely new players. Fellaini is a threat in every game he plays. Like Young is getting assists, he's getting goals in big games. Are they potential bargains?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is Young cheap then now, is he?
He's certainly not in the realms of you know, Sterling. And in terms of his teammates, he's not as expensive as Mata or Di Maria. Or Hazard, Fabregas, etc. I'm sure Ash will tell us in a minute once if he looks it up. But I think players like him, Young and Fellaini. Young was unlucky not to be in the England lineup, in the England squad, if you ask me. In the last squad, Townsend got in.
Yeah, yeah.
He barely featured, and Young actually looks like a decent player. Taken away from it, we all don't like him very much. He's actually performing.
I think we spoke about this at the start of the season. We talked about Young and how when he was at Villa, he was like the one to have, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a good start to his Man United career, but you know. You got any Man United players in your squad?
Have I? No, I've on and off with Rooney. Occasionally I've stuck Mata in, but that's it, really.
When was the last time, years going back, you didn't have a single Man United player in your entire
squad? I haven't for a while, like I say, other than Rooney.
To be fair, in the Fellaini, so in the last 4 weeks, he's got 13.237 and is... Not at all, it's respectable. And he's only 6.5 million.
You see?
But then in the games he's played, he scored like... sort of moderately well in all of them, but then he's gone big periods, like 5 or 6 games in a row without playing at all.
Yeah,
he's come in and out.
At the moment, Fellaini's on the team sheet, one of the first names in the last weeks, and that's kind of Jordan Henderson pricing territory. So you're looking at around, I don't think that's, have you got Young's price to hand or not?
Yeah, he's so far down the list. Oh my God, he's not even 5 million.
Is he not?
No.
In that case, that's it. I think, but to end part one of the podcast, I would say that's a good tip. If you've got a spare few mil. Ashley Young is well worth having on your bench because I can't see him being dropped anytime soon. And he assists and a goal in the Manchester derby. You can't really ask more than that.
No, no.
But anyway, coming up in part two and three, we're going to have the Gaffer Gambler. We're going to have Tom versus Ash. We're going to preview game week 33. We're going to go through all your tweets and talking points. And I'm sure we'll give you a bit of insight into what our teams are going to look like for game week 33. So that's the end of part one. So join us back in a second for part two. Welcome back to the Gaffer Takes Fantasy Football Podcast with Tom, Craig and Ash. Part two, we just went through all of game week 32 in part one. All our tips, our pitfalls, what we did wrong, what we did right. And now it's time we hear from you. What happened in your game week or any of your thoughts on football, fantasy football at the moment in a little section we like to call Tweets for My Tweet.
Tweets for my tweet.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, I really thought he was going to do it then.
I feel like someone should. It's like an unfinished sentence.
Yeah.
Is that, so, wait a minute, we need to clarify this. We tried to clarify it off air. The little bonus bit you do at the end of Tweets for My Tweet, well, is that part of the song?
Yeah. The song is Sweets for My Tweet. Don't ask me. Isn't it?
Something like that.
Don't ask me.
It's just some bassy notes that sounds, you know, a bit Reeves-ish.
Yeah, so something like that. But we'll work on that for next time with Ash. I thought he was going to do it. I went, Ash, do that bit. And he just looked at me and went, it's not going to happen.
Listen, what's the podcast? Go listen to Sweets for My Sweet, because it's a bloody tune.
Yeah.
And then come back to the podcast, though, most importantly.
Hmm.
Don't get lost in YouTube. I bet you the reggae on you, 90s reggae's got a right sidebar.
I bet it has. Yeah. Right.
To hear... looking up wrestling in the Illuminati.
To hear more reggae conversation between these two, wait till the end of the podcast for the outtakes. There'll be a special reggae break.
There's all it's on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, dear. And also, look forward to mine and Tom's reggae podcast coming up in 2020. We won't be having that.
Tom's, what's it, Edinburgh show?
Yeah, Reggae Breck. Central Eating for Rasters.
Reggae Mitchell. No, anyway.
Reggae Mitchell.
Anyway, this is very...
Reggae Mitchell.
Oh, your tweets that you tweeted us during the week during week 32, starting with, actually we'll start straight away with Tom started a little campaign on Twitter where he wants to see your kits.
Oh yes, I thought you were talking about my hashtag Who Is Brian Coates.
No, not that one.
No, yeah, I just thought that it's an aspect of fantasy football that we've never spoken about before, you know, on air. As a group, we haven't. And
I thought you were talking about Who Is Brian Coates or who is Stim Dog. I was like, you guys have barely mentioned that in the previous 20 episodes.
No, I'm talking about the kit design. We've never spoken about that. I just thought, I saw mine and I thought it was a bloody good kit. Let's throw that out.
I saw mine and thought, fucking genius.
Yeah.
I just like the way Tom started that as if it was like a comic relief thing. I think it's an important thing that people don't think about. Are you going to tell us the kits were made by like Taiwanese children?
They are in sweatshops. So I just thought that, and I threw that out there. Craig came up with the fantastic hashtag, which was
"Get your kits out."
That's the jingle for that bit.
Is that what it was? Oi, all right, sweetheart. Get your kits out.
That would be about 35 minutes of Soccer AM.
Pretty much. That is it, isn't it?
Did we get anyone tweet us in our
we did. Kits, we've had a few kits.
Lovely.
This is gonna, before you start on this is gonna work amazingly as podcast format.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for this one.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna like
describe all the kits that we had tweeted to us. Well, this one's actually got a bit of a burgundy colour and it's actually got lemon piping.
We'll just play the music from the do 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 from Tony Hart.
But
I'm not gonna talk about the kits, but we did have a tweet that made me laugh a lot from Mick McGiven. He tweeted a picture of his kit and then said Shit, just noticed the design is dangerously close to Tom's. We're both Harchester United revivalists because they're purple. Yeah. Is yours inspired by Harchester United?
No, not at all. I just went for the campest possible colours. Just to frighten my opponents, maybe.
Well, he ended his tweet because obviously Harchester United from Sky One's Dream Team played in purple famously. And he tweeted it. Yeah. Harchester United revivalists, hashtag purple revolution. He then went away. Came back 5 minutes later and Mick McGivern tweeted us and said, shit, also inadvertently hashtagged the UKIP campaign. Great.
Amazing.
Need to change my team to all British players, which I thought was quite funny. Yeah, so hashtag Purple Revolution is a UKIP campaign. And he didn't mean to be part of that. So he's probably going to get some sort of constant mail.
That's a good point. I wonder if there's any racists on fantasy football that only pick British players.
Well, tweet us in.
Yeah. Tweet us in if you're racist. Hashtag racism.
Purple revolution, apparently.
Kick racism out of fantasy football.
Hashtag kick them out.
Kick them out, yeah.
Well, Tom and I have tweeted our kits, but we haven't seen Ash's yet. So
yeah, what's your kit?
You should tweet that. And we want to see all of your kit. So you've got why you picked your kit. Winner gets a bloody Toblerone.
Well, I put Toblerone, yeah, but only because I ran out of what letters on the tweet. I was going to write, like, signed autograph from Carlton.
I mean, as chocolate bars go, you picked one with quite a lot of letters in it.
Yeah, should have said Mars, but I thought there might be some kind of thing where they might... Oh, is he talking about the planet or is he talking about the confectionery? So
Good thinking. Other tweets we got, we've got from Chuck Bailey, who said, similar to what you were saying, every time I drop Aguero, he scores the following week. Yeah. It's such a conspiracy against me. I think people do take it personally, fancy, but it's hard not to. Serious question, Michael Dravniak.
Oh, yeah, friend of the show.
Yes, friend of the show. He tweeted, question for the next podcast. Kane has drawn a blank in three of his last four games. Is it time to sell? So, serious question. What do we think?
I can't bring myself to do it. I captained him last week, which got me nowhere, which is why I didn't get
a big
point.
That's how Pochettino
fell. Even though, actually, we got a... Well done, yeah. That's good. Last week, we had a tweet from someone. I tweeted from the account saying, who's your captain choice? This guy, I don't know who it was, I don't know his name. He tweeted saying... he wasn't going to go for Kane as I had. He was going to go for Hazard because there was going to be more points there. And it turns out, if I could have captained anyone, I should have captained anyone for my team, it would have been Hazard. I should have done that.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was. And I remember thinking, that will come and haunt me, and it did.
Well, I captained Hazard.
There we go. That's why you had a better week than me. And well, obviously the Balassi shit, yeah.
If I'd captained him, I'd be knocking on Coates' door. Not his real door. I haven't got a fucking clue where it is.
No.
Knocking on his...
You got me excited then. I thought you found out where he lives.
Not a clue. But but what about you, Ash? Do you think Kane, is it again, it's the Aguero thing. He hasn't done it for a couple of weeks. Do you change him? Do you keep him?
Well, he's going to score and he's hardly any points. That's the thing. But they are looking so dreadful at the minute.
They are. But he is their only goal threat, pretty much. Yeah. And he's
well, I don't want to give it the total kiss of death, although it would be good if I did. He is going to score between now and the end of the season.
Exactly. He's not going to in his last six games or something.
You can't... People on Twitter are comparing it to the Aguero thing, but it's not. There's a 7 million difference there.
Yeah. It's only two games.
It has only been two games. Yeah.
Give the guy a break, right? Yeah.
But the thing was, because I started doing quite well, my thinking was, all I want to do is don't do anything stupid, pretty much go with the flow, and hopefully I'll stay up there, stay, maybe break that thing. So that's why I went for the Kane captain, because I thought everyone's going to be doing that this week.
Yeah.
And shouldn't have done. I should have gone with my gut instinct.
Well, I think I might have found one of the tweets you were talking about. We got a tweet from Mook Staney. He said, not sure about Staney. He's just a really messy Scottish guy.
Yeah.
And he tweeted, not sure about captaining Kane over Hazard. Will probably be the wrong one. Mm. It's been that kind of season.
Yeah, and he was absolutely right. And that
he
was
get really depressive.
Yeah. I know, but that's the thing, fantasy football players. You know, that's all we've got. Yeah.
The thing is, it doesn't matter who you are as well, because if you're anybody apart from Coates, it's super depressing. Yeah. Now, even if you're coming second, the guy who's second is going to be like,
Well, Coatesy's second in that other league, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so even here, yeah.
If Morrissey and the Smiths wrote a song about fantasy football, it would be our Twitter feed. It's just a load of people saying, like, everybody hates me, I put the wrong
This is what I should
Speaking
done.
Of which, did you see Michael Dravniak's other tweet? He posted, because we had the audacity to criticise Liverpool.
Oh, yes.
After saying how brilliant they were all season. And then we said, maybe I didn't even say they were bad. I said, maybe they're a little bit gamey. And he said, hey guys, check out this week's episode of the...
I Hate Liverpool
podcast.
Yeah. You were a bit. Spurs fans have got the real right to be aggrieved. Exactly. Let's be honest, not Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
Spurs get a rough time on here. We also had a tweet about Tom versus Ash last week from Adam Scott Allen.
He said, "How genius the guys are! So clever. Yeah. I couldn't have got that. Well done.
Especially under the pressure.
One,
you know.
Charlie Adam. Two, Glenn Murray. Three, Tim Krull in the tunnel. Admittedly, I could have rewound." But he tweeted a screenshot of a paused gaffer tape.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
Which, again, doesn't prove anything.
It doesn't prove anything.
Yeah, yeah. You know, waste of
time.
If anything, it proves to show how brilliant we are.
Yeah, and it proves that he's probably a little bit of an innovative liar.
In fact, we did it before it was on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, before he listened to the podcast, we'd already done it, so we'd done it before him. Thus,
don't talk
genius.
About time again. It
I was going to say, is this where we travel back in time again?
and we had a tweet from Ben Jackson saying, finishing the season like a boss, 7 games to go at the Gaffer Tapes. He is actually someone who didn't join our league in time, but he's been following it anyway and comparing where he would have been. But obviously next season, you'll be able to get the jump on it. We'll be putting the league pin out very, very early.
I'm
so
looking
he can
forward to that already, getting the pin out.
Next season.
Yeah.
Spoken like a Spurs fan.
I like it. It's
been a long time, actually, since we've got Tom to read out the pin.
I know, I saw that the other day when I saw it.
But it's a bit pointless now.
I used to know it off by heart as well.
You don't anymore.
768432421. I'll tell you what, if it is, 768432421, if it is, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you could have paused it and checked. That's cheating.
Oh, that's true.
I thought you were going to sing it like the live and kicking number, like 0181811811. No? Yeah.
I don't know what I was singing. I went, 0800-77. That's someone else in the mind.
But don't phone that number. You can't win anything. Andy Peters isn't on TV at all anymore. So
no, very rarely.
I know. But yes, there's a tweet. Remember to tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes with any of that sort of stuff, really. Any serious talking points, any not serious talking points, your kits, forget your kits out. Tweet us your betting slips, your teams, anything. Once the team's done, we had a few people tweet us before the deadline and a few after. And also, as Tom rightly pointed out, we've been neglecting people who maybe don't use Twitter so much and you want to get in touch. So you can also email us at info@thegaffertapes.com.
Yeah. sounds so overly...
Info@thegaffertapes.com.
You can fucking tweet us on Twitter and just talk shit. Or email us something serious at info.
Have
at
you witnessed a rape? Email info@thegaffertapes.com.
Sorry, was it a bit serious?
Yeah.
If you don't put FAO gaffer tapes in title, we won't even look at it. So,
are you responsible for protecting Brian Coates' children from celebrity podcast molesters?
info@thegaffertapes.com. No, I like all that. Right. Yeah, I just thought that, you know, we don't get as much interaction on Twitter as we might do if we stuck out the
if people could do it anonymously, they want any tip-offs.
I think that's it. People don't want, you know, people don't want it seen by the public. So exactly. Email us and then we'll read it. So that's fine.
Because we're only going to read it out the next game week, aren't we? Do you see what I mean?
Email us, we'll screenshot it and tweet it.
Yeah, that's true. We could always do that, can we?
No, email us. info@thegaffertapes.com.
Yeah.
Or, of course, tweet us @thegaffertapes.
Just bloody get in touch, guys.
Yeah, so do that, guys. So it's time, before we go on to part three, a quick Gaffer Gambler update. Last week we did our Anytime podcast.
It's not Anytime. It's always on a Tuesday.
I'm going to let you guys into a little secret here. It is an Anytime podcast. Go on to iTunes, Anytime. It's always there.
Hey.
Bloody hell, we are getting good at this.
Yes.
We are.
Self-promotion. We did the Anytime pattern, Anytime scorer. We did it the week before, got 2 out of 3, which ain't bad, as Meatloaf said.
Yeah.
Last week we got 0 out of 3, sadly.
That was bad.
Tom went for Giroud.
Yeah, in mid fantasy team as well as in that, and it did not pay off.
I went for Puncheon, which didn't happen. I should have gone Balassi like I did in my fantasy football team. And Ash went for Hazard, who obviously didn't get a goal.
Yeah.
Despite getting an assist, doing well. Fantasy football-wise, didn't get the goal. But we've done this one already this week. So again, we've got our picks. Tom, who have you gone for?
I can't bloody remember now.
Jamie Vardy.
No, that's me.
That was him. Oh, no, mine was Murray, who we spoke about earlier, yeah.
So we've got Glenn Murray for Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Ash, who have you got?
Yaya Toure.
Which is bold, Yaya Toure. Oh, he got. Did you see, was it Monday Night Football and on Sunday as well? He got the biggest slagging I've ever seen. Gary Neville just absolutely tore him to pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see that, no.
Neither did you?
No. Well, I saw the game, but I didn't see the review of it, although I did hear on the radio they have been slaughtering them for not tracking back, that kind of thing. I assume that's what he was having a go about.
Yeah, he just said, now he's 31, he can't play midfield in a four.
Yeah.
All because you'll lose the game. Basically just said, you can play him behind the strikers in an advanced role, but he's a waste of a jersey. He's useless in a four. And he was just absolutely brutal about it.
So, whereas when he was 30, he was the player you had to have last season.
It's like, also, ages. Just before the Cup of Nations, he scored about 100 points a week.
That's not his amazing.
I like the way he said the Cup of Nations like it was some sort of tournament you created on Pro Evo in 1988.
Yeah. I thought it was like, sort of Harry Potter-esque. The Cup of Nations, Harry. The Cup of Nations, Harry.
It's weird. Yaya Touré is going to go and play Quidditch.
I'd bloody love to see him with a long broom between his legs.
I could see you losing that sentence. Yeah. Started it.
Was it one of you two who were saying the other day they were walking through a forest, and then when they came out of it the other side, there was a load of people running around in a field with loads of spectators, and they were like, cool, they played like Gaelic, they're playing actual Quidditch.
Yeah, I've seen it. It might have been me.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah.
I thought that was a dream. Neither of us said that.
Yeah, no, somebody was saying, must have been Craig, was saying there was an actual, like, with fans, proper...
Oh, an actual Quidditch game?
No, I didn't see it with fans, but I saw, like, it was a university Quidditch team.
Oh, right. And you accidentally stumbled across that, did you, Craig?
Yeah.
Just accidental, was it? Oh, I didn't turn up with a ticket and then made little Harry Potter robes or anything. Yeah, probably have one, mate.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Quidditch is real, guys. So.
But actually, back to the thing. I picked Touré because I backed him so far, so why stop now when he's out of form? But the odds for him scoring were the worst out of anybody, weren't they? You were saying it's a bit of a gamble.
On form, yeah. I suppose it would be, yeah.
But Vardy's 2.8, Murray's 2.3, and Touré's 2 flat, so...
He's too flat. He needs to pump himself up a bit.
Exactly.
Pump yourself up a bit, boy.
I would have thought that's a weird odds, though, isn't it?
I guess it's more to do with opposition more than anything.
I don't know what you're saying, pal. They've got the fucking mighty irons. We've done them once already.
So what is our £10 patent return on that? The three singles, three doubles, one treble.
£55.60.
Spending it already.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But we'll tweet that and you can let us know what you've gone for in an anytime patent, because a few people have done their own, which are probably more likely to win. So you can let us know that. And just before we move on to part three, actually, I had a quick look at odds. I saw an article today where Eric Cantona has not available in your fantasy football, sadly. But Eric Cantona is confident that Man United will win the title next season. It was in the same article that he said that Javier Pastore is the best player in the world. So, I mean, take it with a pinch of salt. But... the odds for next season's league are already available.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you can see who's gonna win the league. So where do you think Man U place in that at the moment?
Second.
You're going second?
I'd say second, just beyond Chelsea.
They're in third, but it's Chelsea are 11-8.
City.
City are 11-4 still. Terrible value. Man United 9-2 and Arsenal 11-2. So I guess, is it surprising that Man United are now better placed in the bookies to win the league than Arsenal?
Well, the thing is, Man United are terrible, but they might win the league. Arsenal are going to be brilliant. Yeah. They'll never win it.
We could be fantastic come second, you know, and win the FA Cup maybe. You know, to win the league, you have to be consistent a lot regularly than Arsenal have been consistent for the last 10 years.
I guess, depressingly, there's still players at United who, despite not being maybe that good on paper, know how to win a league. It's such a cliche, but, you know, Johnny Evans has won leagues.
Yeah. Oh, God,
Smalling has won leagues. Mm. You know, Raphael has won leagues, whereas Arsenal don't really have many players who have won leagues.
That have, no.
It's amazing that how well United are doing, really, considering the team they put out and all the good players they just put on their bench. They've just abandoned, like...
They're still shit at the back.
Yeah, they've just abandoned Di Maria and Falcao and are just playing fucking terrible, like Fellaini. But just slaughtering everybody.
Well, he's playing, but that team is being held together by Michael Carrick. Yeah, that might sound ridiculous, but it genuinely is getting held together by Michael Carrick playing well.
I think what's his name's looking good as well, actually. Blind.
I don't know what he does.
Yeah,
I have to work out what he does.
I didn't before, and I still don't know really. I couldn't, like, you know, when you picture him, I can't really picture him where on the pitch he lives, like where he works. But when you see him,
I believe you can't picture him.
Yeah,
a 7'3" guy, white guy, the ginger afro, that's a pipe.
But when you actually see him play, like move around with the ball, he's quite clever. He's like actually surprisingly good.
Yeah. You should see him on a Quidditch pitch. But anyway, we'll tweet whatever bets the Gaffer Gambler, which is just me in a hat, whatever I'm going to tip. from the gaffer tapes. And you can tweet us what you've been betting on, your betting slips, any wins or anything like that, at the gaffer tapes. And of course, now you can email us at info@thegaffertapes.com. Coming up in part three, we're going to preview game week 33. It's a pretty interesting week. It's going to be a lot of changes, or not a lot of changes, depending on what way you approach it. And also, we've got the latest installment of Tom versus Ash, as Ash is 9-4 up to Tom in the series. All that coming up in part three of the Gaffer Tapes. Hello and welcome back to part three of the Gaffer Tapes Comedy Fantasy Football Podcast with Tom, Ash and Craig. We've talked through game week 32. Now it's time to discuss game week 33 coming up. We're right near the end of the season. Only a few weeks left to get to the top of your leagues. That's a good point, actually. I don't think I've asked you the whole way through the season. What other leagues are you two in apart from the Gaffer Tapes League?
I'm in a work league with about nine teams. And I think,
how are you getting on?
I think I'm second. Behind Jack Saunders.
There you go. Ash, you're probably in like 83 of them.
No, I'm only in one of the league, which is a work league from about, about 5 years ago. Although, I think one of the seasons there was obviously the season where I finished top. Actually, I'm in another work league, but it's a company I used to work at, and everybody is super well off, right? Like, everybody apart from me was driving around Porsches and stuff. And they do a thing in their league where everyone bets, they do like a spread betting thing, where you pay the person, every point you finish behind the person ahead of you,
told me this
you pay
before,
them a point, and the person above them. So say at the end of the season, you're like 30 points behind the guy who's first, you give them 30 quid. And if you finish third, you give them 30 quid, and the guy who's second, 15. And when I started there, they were like, oh, do you want to join our thing? And I was thinking, like, if I finish 500 points behind, that's not just 500 points for each of them. Like, it'd be like the guy behind this, so it'd be like $2,500. And they were like,
so if you're in tenth, you have to pay 9th, 8th, 7th.
Yeah, exactly.
All 10.
Yeah. And then they were like, yeah, so, but of course, then they're all the people below
that's
you.
That's mental.
You. Yeah. And they were like, no, it's normally only about £700, which when I spat my coffee out.
Who did you work for? Jordan Belfort.
Yeah, that's it. And then so I was like, no. But of course, at the end of the season, I finished 400 points ahead
this
of the
was
person
your,
in second.
This was your top 20 performance.
Yeah,
amazing.
So I was 400 points ahead of the guy in second place.
Oh, wow.
I was 200 points ahead of the guy in third place. The guy who's top of there is really good as well, who was second. So I would have got 600 quid just from the guy who was third in the league, and there was 43 people playing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, fucking fortune.
You can't risk it, though.
No.
That sounds like the most mental thing in the world. That actually sounds like the kind of guy who takes £100 to a barbecue.
Yeah, like nowadays, I'd be like, hey!
I wouldn't be able to deal with the stress. Imagine going into work. Like, why are you so stressed, mate? We've got nothing on. Like, I've got fancy football on, mate. I'd be River Phoenixed by the end of it. I'd be done.
Yeah.
I'd have overdosed. That's frightening. I'm glad. All I do in my league, mine sounds tame. The loser buys dinner for everyone else.
That sounds like it's expensive.
It doesn't just sound tame. It sounds gay, Craig. It sounds gay.
No, we eat like burgers and shit.
He had to think. What really food? What's the least gay thing I can think of?
Champagne and oysters? No, that's gay. Prawns? That's still quite gay. Large sausages, that's very gay. Burgers and chips, mate.
Right, well, anyway, it all just goes to show what good standard the Gaffer Tapes League is, because I'm second in my other league at the moment. But yeah, so game week 33, still time to get to the top of those leagues, and whoever's at your old work, make them a bloody millionaire if they crack on. So fixtures for game week 33, Crystal Palace are at home to West Brom. As we said, Palace players, that's another chance for Bolasie, Punchin and Murray to score some points. Everton at home to Burnley. Leicester at home to Swansea, one of those games against a mid-table side that don't really need anything, and Leicester really do. Stoke at home to Southampton. It's Chelsea-Man U, which is obviously a huge game.
Big game.
For Man U more than Chelsea, I guess, but it's a real chance to solidify being ahead of City. City at home to West Ham.
Game of the week, you say? Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, if there's ever a chance for West Ham to get a result there, it's this week.
Well, or, yeah, I suppose so. Or when we beat them earlier in the season.
You've already had a great performance against them.
Yeah.
And Newcastle at home to Spurs. There's your shit game. Right there.
Oh, God.
Definitely.
That's the funny with those teams, though, isn't it? Because Newcastle, Spurs, that could be 5-4 easy.
Or you know what?
It could be really drab.
It could be, because Newcastle, once again, a really big club with really great set of fans, a great setup, are left with 8 games to go or whatever. They had nothing to shout. They got nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. No. They're an absolute disaster.
Their B team, Rangers, is better, though.
So yeah, well, no, they're not. They're having a nightmare as well. Oh. But that's a televised game, Newcastle Spurs. So that's game week 33. And as obviously, Tom, you know, you point out on Twitter, it's a, that's a very short game week, isn't it?
I didn't point it out on Twitter. It was via email, actually.
I get confused.
Info at the cover tapes.
There's no game week for six teams, including some the big boys, obviously Arsenal, Liverpool, QPR. And I mean, everyone's got Austin. Everyone's got Arsenal players, Liverpool players. Villa, Sunderland and Hull. So there's 6 teams not playing.
Yeah.
And obviously, so you're in that whole massive conundrum of what do you do? Do you take out all your Liverpool players, all your Arsenal players, all your QPR? Do you take out Austin? Is it worth making all those changes? Because something I noticed that while there is no Liverpool game this week, it's a double Liverpool game week next week.
Yeah.
So take them out to then put them in. Are you robbing Peter to play Paul? Pay Paul.
Play Paul.
Are you playing with Paul?
Who's playing with Paul?
Rob Peter. So you can afford to go and play Paul.
Yeah.
I get it.
Go and play Paul with Paul and tell Peter about it. See if he wants to come along. It's
scary.
Because after the 2 weeks, if you still had a Liverpool player and didn't take him out first week and then brought him back, you'd still have the same amount of points after the 2 weeks, if you see what I mean, wouldn't you?
Well, I know what you mean. Is it worth risking points for transfers if they don't perform? It's a mistake.
Yeah.
The question is, a lot of people can't put out a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on. So at the minute, I've done my substitutions, but I haven't done my transfers. And I've only got 10 players.
Yeah.
But there are. So next week, obviously, if you've got Liverpool players, brilliant. Like, you wouldn't sell Henderson or Sterling now.
Mm.
If you're assuming you can fill a bench, your team, because they're going to get a double game week. But Chelsea, I've got a double game week next week.
Yeah, they have.
And
as well,
they're playing.
Yeah.
So you obviously want 3 Chelsea players in now.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do personally is I'm going to keep Mingele because he's been great. I think if I get rid of him, I'd only then have to buy him back. And I bought him cheaper than he is now.
Yep.
So I'm going to keep him in and just take the hit because my assistant goalkeeper is... who is it?
Oh, you're super strong.
Who's your
bench.
Man? Given. It's Given. Shane Given.
And obviously Villa aren't playing. Did he get the promotion to assistant goalkeeper after an interview with the
to the goalkeeper.
Assistant to the goalkeeper, yeah.
But and I actually noticed something about Given. He hasn't got 1 point all season, but he's been bought by 7.9%, and up until about a month ago, that was more people than had Mingele. That's absolutely true.
That's because there's another 7.9% of idiots like you who just
buy the cheapest people, yeah.
Yeah.
Good technique. So I'm going to keep Mingele because he's my only Liverpool player. But then now I've got the problem of having 2 Arsenal players, Sanchez and Giroud. I'm going to have to take them both out, stick in a couple of Chelsea players if I can. So then I've got the Chelsea players for next week and then maybe buy the Arsenal boys back.
I think it's one of them. I don't want to preach, but it's times like this where Ash and I have said over and over again,
you need a decent
bench.
Yeah.
Because I can field 11 players without making a transfer.
Can you?
Wow. Yeah, it involves bringing in players like Trippier.
Yeah, but it's worth it because you're not taking point hits. And that's what I was the point I made on my email was, I mean, if you are making more than one transfer, you know, say you make 3 transfers, well, the 2 of them need to make more than the 4 points you've lost. Otherwise, there's absolutely no point. Like, I'm not going to bother getting rid of Austin because I've had him so long. He's a lot more expensive than when I first bought him. So I'd take a points hit. And if I bought him back, which I'd probably wouldn't bother doing, it's going to cost you more money. I don't really know. I think I'm going to end up playing with about 9 players this next game week.
Really?
9 or 10 maybe.
What's your take on it, Ash? You're the pro.
One of the reasons I got rid of Benteke last week was because Villa aren't playing this week, are they?
No, they're
so
not.
He's not playing. So I talk about last week. He's not playing this week. I'm putting a Chelsea forward because they're playing this week.
Because they're playing, yeah.
Plus twice
forward
next week.
Thinking.
Yeah, but the problem was, obviously, Remy got injured.
Yeah.
So I don't know who...
Are there any Chelsea
well,
forwards
there's Drogba,
left?
But Drogba. He looks terrible. It looks yeah.
Well, it's not... It's, you saw Drogba, the look on his face when he realised he was going to have to play 90 minutes was priceless.
Yeah.
He is obviously a fantastic player and can still do a job now, even now. Mm. But he's not equipped for a full game.
No.
And they got rid of, you know, they've had players who could score goals off the bench. They're actually pretty short in that department, but luckily for them, the league's wrapped up.
Yeah. So I don't know who, because I would have said, definitely put Remy in your side, but now he's on the orange injury. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. So then it's, I guess a lot of people are going to stick with their normal forwards. I don't even know who could get together. Kane's playing. And then go for Hazard and Fabregas, I suppose.
That's what I'm doing. I've already got Hazard. I'm going to stick Fabregas in. I've got Terry already. So I'm going to stick Hazard in for Sanchez. And I've got enough money to take out Giroud. And I think I'm going to put in Aguero. Because I think he might score
well, again. I've got money in the bank. I've got about $3 million in the bank from taking Aguero out, but not wanting to use
not
more than
replacing
the transfer.
It. Yeah.
But Giroud and Cazorla will sit on my bench. And I can field 11 players, but... Baba Fete Gomez is on a yellow, on a slight 75% chance of playing. So the other one that is there is, I talked about him earlier, and it might be a bit of a risk, but Leicester are playing this week, are in the same situation. They also have a double game week next week.
Yeah, they do. I noticed that. And that's why when I looked at Yellow and realised that he hadn't scored for a while.
Well, I think Vardy's not a bad shout.
Vardy.
I genuinely think Vardy. If any club, we said last week, if a club has a double game week, they're worth looking at.
Mm.
This is a double game week plus the single game week when other people don't have it. That's a big advantage. There will be some. I mean, we got a tweet actually. It was from I think it was from Stimdog actually. But he actually tweeted and said, you know, how many players do you think you need to get out this week? Is 11 a bare minimum? And I think a lot of people are just going to have to take the hit and only field 9, 10.
I think that's what I'm going to have to do.
If you can field 11 players and not take a transfer points here, you will be an advantage to at least 40% of the league.
And it's massive at this stage. Having such a short week followed by a double game week. And I think after that, there's pretty much 10 games every week. And it's. I think maybe there's one team that played double after that. But yeah, after these next 2 weeks, that's it. So
well, we'll have to see. We'll tweet our teams, obviously, what we go for. And Tom might even give Shea Given a game, but sadly Villa won't. But there is that.
No.
And we'll tweet our teams. Remember to tweet us your teams at the Gaffer Tapes and see what you're going to do for game week 33. Are you going to bring in extra Leicester, Chelsea players, or are you going to leave? Are you even going to get 11 players out? Let us know. Also on Twitter this week, sadly, you won't be able to play along in our Tom versus Ash, which is what we're going to do now. It's 9-4. It's almost uncatchable, Tom.
It's very. I was doing the maths and. I think, I may not be able to do anything.
But you didn't take into account the triple points game week in the last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, no, I forgot about that. That's perfect. Yeah.
There's the triple points game week in the last week, so you can win it all.
Okay.
No, we'll go for that then. But we did a YouTube pundit last week. Obviously, you boys were pretty poor. And everyone on Twitter seemed to get it as usual. So this week, I thought I'd level the playing field a bit because Ash is so much better and watches more YouTube.
Do you know what? I'll just say it very quickly. This season, I have watched less football than I have for about 10 years. And it's the season that I'm recording a fantasy football podcast.
That's because you've been spending too much time in caravans.
With my wife, yeah. And my girlfriend. Mental. Absolutely mental.
It's very cramped for the three.
Yeah, really cramped.
So we're going to have an old-fashioned game. Do you remember Mallet's Mallet?
Yes.
I do, yeah.
We're going to have a game of like Mallet's Mallet, except I won't be as noncy. We're going
to
have a
without
game.
Wishing to slander the guy, one of my friends met Timmy Mallet when I was about 7. And was like,
when you were about 7?
Yeah, or maybe younger. And I remember they met him once walking down the street and were like, Timmy, Timmy. And he went, fuck off.
Really?
Yeah, just walked off.
In fairness, that's the best thing that could have happened in that situation,
yeah.
Considering. But, Game of Mallet's Mallet. There's a few different rules in this one. So I'm going to give you a word. It's going to be a game of word association.
Okay, I was going to say.
Take it in turns.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Here we go. This is
so
it.
Obviously,
come
there's
on.
No repetition.
Yeah.
Mm. And if I think there's hesitation, then you're out. The other rule is the words cannot be footballers or foot clubs.
Oh, good. What? So what is the chosen subject? Comedians?
No.
Comedians, songs like?
This
places.
Is it.
Venues, Tom Spader.
They're football-related subjects.
Right.
But you can't use footballers, because otherwise you could go on forever.
Oh, okay, so...
Yeah, but that'd be better.
So, yeah, you say a football team, I couldn't then name a player for that team.
Exactly.
To be fair, I probably couldn't anyway, so that's not a problem.
So, for instance, as a test run, if we started with Ash, and I said, Jose Mourinho, you could say...
Park the bus? Does that count?
Yeah.
Wheels.
Yeah.
Ah, so now we've got off football
exactly.
straight away,
yeah.
I see.
The world is our oyster.
Ah, okay, right, yeah.
Oyster.
If there's
fish.
Oyster. We're not always playing.
Okay.
We're not always playing. And there's a bonus point if either of you can work it back to Toblerone. So there is that. Genuine bonus point. Just thought of that. You can.
God, my palms are really sweating. See, look, yeah, people ain't going to be tweeting us now going, that was too easy.
No, because they can't play along. Yeah. But yeah, so no hesitation.
If you're listening to this on your iPhone, just after I see each one, pause it, skip ahead 2 seconds, enter your own one for Tom, and then you can play along at home.
Yeah,
you could be the third player.
Yeah.
We'll do best of five, because I think it'll be quite quick.
Best of five, okay. So that's
so we'll start with Ash, as you're the reigning champion or leader of it. So, Ash, word association. I say referee. You say
red card,
yellow card,
sending off,
gone,
wind,
blow,
felled.
What?
Yeah, that's good. That's a point, Ash.
<What's it>?
Yeah, blow felled.
Yeah,
blow felled.
Yeah, smart. That's a James Bond thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Good work.
Oh, I thought he meant like. Like, you couldn't say fallen over, like blow. Like I thought he went and go say fall, and he went felled.
Well, like, still
felled
word.
Over.
I'm not giving out points for general like speech impediment.
All right, okay.
Just 1-0 Ash, so we'll start with Tom.
Shit.
Right, Tom, I say offside, you say...
Rule.
Infringement.
Penalty.
Goal.
Net.
Frame.
Game.
Rules.
Jeez.
He said cheese.
I said cheese and I meant to say chess. The rules of chess. Oh, the rules of cheese.
No, there are no rules of cheese.
Cheese.
I meant to say chess. It's 2-0 to Ash in what could be going spectacularly wrong, because if he loses this,
God,
if he wins this.
For fuck's sake, if he wins this. It's just words. It's just like words.
Ash.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
To make it 10-4, and let's be honest, make the next few weeks academic, which is ironic given Tom's score.
Shit.
I say Andy Townsend. You say...
Commentary.
Talking.
Radio.
Television.
Colour.
Black and white.
Spectrum.
ZX.
Computer.
Frame.
Whoa, question. Sorry, I'm questioning that.
A mainframe. A computer mainframe. The frame of the computer.
I'm going to have to say what?
As... I can't believe you took it towards technology, given what Ash does for a living. But for the sake of entertainment, I'm going to allow it, and we'll carry on.
Painting.
We'll give you mainframe. Ash, it's on you.
So, what did you say?
Oh, so you're going mainframe, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, circuit board.
Dial.
Telephone.
Call.
iPhone.
iPad.
iWatch.
iTime.
No!
What? Oh, God, I'm sweating.
You thought you were going to say I quit.
I time.
I'm not good at that game.
I've played that before, and I am a nervous wreck. I can't
you
say...
You are nervous.
There was a time a little bit back where it did sound like Ash did have a little bit of a hesitation, but, you know.
But then I hesitated maybe for half a fraction of a second and said a word... Which you quickly replied, iTime.
To be fair, right, if you go back and listen, at one point you said something and I just said a word that rhymed with it. It had nothing to do with it, but we just glossed over it. I think you said frame and I said game.
Yeah, but the rules I used to play was that rhyming is allowed to change
really?
The subject.
Oh, really? Well, I could have cracked on.
Which would have been funny because the next word was going to be Sabutio. So if you'd found one to rhyme with that, I'd have been very impressed.
Prostitutio?
That's not a version of the game I had.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, so I've lost that then. So, yeah, fucking dead.
I deliberately picked a game. I thought, Tom's a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
He MCs.
He
Tom,
can say words.
You're listening. Tom is a very good MC. He compares nights, which is not doing material. That's just dealing with people talking to you spontaneously from the crowd. And yet a game of word association. Don't do that at your next gig.
No, I shouldn't. I'm terrible at it.
Word association.
Yeah, I thought that. I thought, yeah, I'm just all I do is just talk to people, talk to them off the cuff. Cuff, shirt, No, all right.
The game's over, mate.
Yeah, it's over.
And no one said Toblerone, so you didn't.
To drag it back.
Point. You should have just said Toblerone.
Should have done.
But when he said cuffed shirt, I should have said photo shoot.
Photo shoot?
Yeah.
Oh, you. Right, yeah.
In your Tottenham shirt.
That's all I was seeing. I was just seeing a picture of my grumpy little self in a fucking Tottenham shirt.
Yeah, you'll have that picture on your mantelpiece. Have you got a mantelpiece? Get a mantelpiece and put that picture on it.
I think it's going to be proud placed on Tom Holmes' blog.
Should be, yeah. Well, it's 10-4 to Ash in the series, which pretty much means it's pretty conclusive that Tom's going to be having a little photo opportunity in a Tottenham shirt.
Three-point game week, like you said, isn't it?
Fuck off.
What was that? The triple game week?
There's no triple point game week.
Well, quite you need more than that. But we'll talk about this off air. we'll talk about it over email on info@thegaffertapes.com.
But exactly, yeah. But for now, that's game week 33 chatted about. Obviously, get your teams in before the deadline on Saturday, and you can tweet us them at the Gaffer Tapes. If you do have any questions, any talking points, anything you want to add, then email us at info@thegaffertapes.com or, of course, tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Craig Hazel. Ash, you can follow on Twitter.
At Gremzilla.
And Tom, we'll find out about his solo show coming up and any gigs he's got coming up.
I wouldn't bother, mate. I'm really depressed. I'm going to quit Twitter. No, it's @the_Tom_Holmes.
And yeah, obviously follow us at The Gaffer Tapes for all the latest tweets, football news, fancy football betting, and anything we might be talking about. But for now, that's all we've got time for. But good luck in game week 33. We'll reconvene for previewing game week 34. That's all we've got time for right now. But thank you very much and goodbye. Tease me, baby.
Wow. Till I lose control.
It was the mid-90s reggae revolution, and I was a big fan.
Hear me now.
There's a lot of that. Dawn Penn? No. That's a good one. No. Do you remember that?
What? You don't love
Yeah, that got re-released then.
And I know
now. Aswad.
That's that, isn't it?
Yeah. The Reaper.
The world.